Nerdy Sports is an absolute menace!
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button!
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hello, hello. I have started this podcast about 12 times now. I do not know where to start. So, let's get to the obvious. Gary Payton II, we wish you very well. I'm in disbelief at how bad that... Like, who thought that was going to work as a defensive play? Mate, you have to leave the ground. Go for the backboard. It's not that hard. You can't just swipe at a player's head. Everyone saying, oh, but it was okay when Dre did it, and everyone was defending Dre. Dre physically lifted the guy up to stop him from falling. Like, he pulled him down, stopped him from falling. I can't even remember the bloke's name. I'm, like, livid about the Gary Payton one. Because that, I'm livid. Because that was so avoidable. If you've missed, he's at the backboard. That happens 20 times a game. He's there. He's going for the layup. You're about to get there. You can't just come from behind and start clubbing people over the head. That's just, what the hell's that? So Dylan Brooks should be suspended, I'm hoping, for at least a game. But, you know, Gary's going to be out. How many months will he be out for? You know, poor bloke, just got his NBA career in order, you know. Often overlooked. He's worked very hard to be a great defensive player and has made some amazing plays this playoffs already. He was going to continue doing that. You know, now it's gone. You know, shit happens. People get injured, but not like that. That's the worst thing about it. If it had been, like, anything else, why did it have to... If it had been a hard foul and he got injured on a hard foul, everyone would be like, okay, cool. That shit happens, you know? But that was not a hard foul. That was... that was borderline criminal. What happened there? I didn't like Taylor Jenkins refusing to just flat out say that's a bad play. Like, leave it to the refs. Yeah, okay. I can't remember if that was the exact wording, but, you know, take some responsibility, man. Jar's primary defender in that series has been Gary Payton so far. So, and you know what? There needs to be someone who steps up. Now that he's gone, because Jar going off for 47, we'll get to that in a sec, but him being the primary defender of Jar, first 3 minutes you go for the head on a player like that, yeah, there's something a bit fishy there. I'm not, like, going to say, oh, Taylor Jenkins made them, but, you know, his supporting comments weren't really, they don't really protect him from that theory. His comments after the game, they don't protect him from that theory, like, at all. So, you know, it is what it is. Shit happens, but pretty disappointed. If Adam Silver doesn't suspend him, which I believe he should at least be suspended one game, then what are we doing here? Do we care about player welfare? Like, the difference is Draymond from game one, do I think he should have been thrown? Probably after watching it a few more times, yeah, I thought he should have been thrown because of reputation and stuff. I think if any other player does it, it's probably a flagrant one. But still, anyway, flagrant two, he got ejected. That's fine. Move on. Won that game. Whatever. But yesterday was, like, clearly a bit off. You know, first 3 minutes. Come on. It's not a bit of payback for the game one. That really, like, nothing happened because Draymond was protecting the player on the fall. So why does it matter? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like Memphis, I feel like Taylor Jenkins, like the way he danced around that in the presser is pretty telling. Which is unfortunate. We don't want that. Player welfare. You've got to protect your players. So, Adam Silver, in that vein, if you don't listen to this, which you won't, because this is a shit podcast, but still, no, you need to listen to the guys that are saying that he should be suspended, that are from the media, past players, current players. That's a bad play. It's a bad foul. Yep, needs to be rubbed out. Onto Jar. Great game. 47 points. But all I'm going to say is, yes, it can be stopped. But Steve Kerr refused to stop it. He was heating up in the first three. I was talking on the Spaces yesterday. I can't remember whose it was. I think it was Guzzles. You can't let a player just shoot threes because you, on the off chance that you hope they'll miss. You can't do it every single time. There were times when Kuminga was guarding him, which is fine, but he was standing basically in the paint. I get it. You're scared that he's going to be driving in and, you know, getting his top looks, which he ended up doing anyway, so it's not like you stopped anything there. He still got 15 and a lot, and I think 9 of them were in the paint in the fourth, or maybe all of them were in the paint. I can't remember, but it was a lot. A lot of it was in the paint because that's his game. But you can't just stand back and allow him to shoot threes because you think he's a bad three-point shooter. He cooked from outside because we just left him open, got him hot. You get someone hot from outside, what are they going to do to you inside? Look at Curry when he gets hot outside. He goes on these great runs where he mixes in these dirty layups, and, you know, you can't, these are NBA players. Stop, you don't treat them like they're, he's not a big man. You can't just, like, treat him like Brook Lopez. Before he started hitting three, everyone's hitting threes now. Who am I meant to say? Andre Drummond. You can't just leave him there. You know, he's, Ja Morant is a very good player. He's going to take advantage of those defensive issues. I just don't understand from Steve Kerr. Like, this is what I'm saying, man. I made a podcast episode like ages ago saying Steve Kerr is the problem. He can still be the problem in the playoffs. I'm not mysticized still, you know. He can still be a massive problem in these playoffs. If he's playing like that, defense like that, where he's just going to sag off every time, rather than not defending him on the perimeter at all, because you're not expecting him to shoot threes, he was shooting him and he was making them. That's just the bottom line. But you're not going to take that chance every single game. They took that last game. They got away with it. But, man, it's not going to... He's still got 34. He had 31 shots in the last game, but... I don't know. I don't know what to say. Steve Kerr, treat him with more respect. That's all I'm saying. You can very easily move up a defensive player outside of the paint and into that 3-point range without completely giving up anything on the inside. Just force him on his weaker hand. Make him work for that shot harder. Yeah, it's a lot to unpack from yesterday's game. Clay shot selection was terrible. Poole over dribbling. Curry, I don't know, he wasn't aggressive enough the first half, I thought. Curry should be starting aggressive early. I think it's when he plays his best games, when he's aggressive from the get-go. But seemed to wait, like he waits a lot now. I think it's, which is, think is clearly part of the game plan, because they're trying to heat up other players. But at the same time, Curry is still a shooter. You need to get him hot too. They should be feeding him early. So he need, like, next game needs to be really like an attitude adjustment from the whole team. Dre, he's passing at the beginning. It's like the game one before. I think the whole reason we won that game was one because he got, you know, we had the fire in the bat, like in the belly after he got ejected, and they didn't think it was an ejection. That's great. You can use all that fire, but we only won by 1 point in that last game. And, you know, I'm not saying it's easy to win on the road. I'm just saying you've got all that fire in the belly. You win by 1 point. Don't take the next game for granted. Don't. They'd be throwing away Curry, 5 turnovers. You can't be throwing away the ball. Don't get sloppy now. You've stolen the first game. We lost, realistically, we lost by 5. So we could have easily stolen the second game if we were doing the little things right. We were rebounding well yesterday. That's what I mean. Like, we were doing those things right. Defensive end, Wiggins was great. Especially in that first half. Really aggressive. His defense was good. So you can have good things happen. I'm not... Look, we split the series 1-1. That's what, when you go on the road, you want at least a win. Especially when you start on the road. You want a win. And we got the first one. So I'm hoping game 3 at home. Show him who's boss. Kick him to 3-1. Kick him to 3-1 in that second game. Yeah, there's a lot of things to consider with this team. Do I think this? I really do think we would benefit from a backup big. Looney was so good yesterday and the day before. Looney's crazy. Looney just is 100% effort, and I love him for it. But he needs help too. Like Dre, him. You can't just have those two guys and Kuminga's your third big guy. Kuminga's very young, you know. He's not going to know everything about defense and the attacking structures. So, yeah, that was a rough loss yesterday. I thought that was very winnable. Especially after that 3 by Curry, I thought, yep, we're winning this. Because it felt like a game shifter. There was a moment at the end when Jar flopped, got a foul. I don't have a problem with the foul call per se. I thought Dre's hands were kind of on his back, but I don't think he pushed him. I think it was just like the way they were both running. So I think I'm on the fence with that one. I know a lot of people are saying that changed the game. I guess, but that was really late. So like, yeah, that probably lost us the game, that play. It was rough yesterday. I didn't have a fun time watching that game. That felt like there were so many things. I was like, man, if we just cleaned up a little bit, every single aspect of these little things, like shooting, too much driving kicks. Sometimes you just have to, you get to the rim, use it, get free throws, get in the paint. Go up for a shot. They don't do that. They just keep trying to throw around the perimeter. Yeah, there were some good plays that came from it. Great, but you can't do that every single time. You have to take your chances too. So I think it's, you know, it's a bit of everything, but it's getting, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this next game. I'm worried. It's a very young team, very athletic. Hoping Dylan Brooks will be suspended at least one game. Honestly, with his green light, just him jacking up threes, I think it was a good thing that he wasn't there for them. Because he has way too green a light for how many points he actually scores and how many threes he actually nails. So, yeah, his defense was missed. But at the same time, if his defense is just going to be grubby plays, then... Please, it's not, yeah, well, we can't allow that, has to go. Gary's got a fractured elbow, so we won't be seeing him, I don't think, the rest of the offseason, unless they pull out some magic, and they can get him out there, but, you know, it's crazy. One, nothing to be too scared about, but these playoffs are very uncertain for us, because we lack a few things. We lack size. Yeah, so, I mean, that's my recap of game two. We've got some teams to be worried about if we do get past Memphis. And I think there are more teams in the East that I'm worried about than I am in the West. Look, Suns are a very good team. If we get to the Western Conference Finals, we've got to be scared about them, obviously. I'm not going to pretend like they're not a very good team. I do think we can beat them in a best of seven, though. If we force them... If we defend like Pelicans did, we're a better team than the Pelicans. But, you know, it's all a matter of timing. It's all a matter of fate. It's all a matter of chance. A lot of things that go into a playoff run. Like with anything, so just we're gonna take it as it comes, you know. Support the boys. Hopefully, get something from it. Who knows what can happen? Anyway, now we'll move on. So the Mad Dog versus JJ Redick discussion. This is a great. JJ absolutely took him down. I'll play the audio here. I'll probably get copyright struck if I put this on YouTube, but I don't really care. I'm going to put it up because I think, yeah, give it a listen.
That has the same sort of connotations that the shut up and dribble crowd has towards athletes, and I have a real problem with that, and specifically with Draymond, the idea that America is tired of him. You do realize the guy has a very, very popular podcast that he hosts where he talks himself for a majority of the episode, and people listen to that. He signed a talent deal with Turner because people want to hear what Draymond has to say.
It's true.
The reason they want to hear what Draymond has to say is because, just like in this press conference, he is real, authentic, and unfiltered. And as a player, he is real, authentic, and unfiltered. The edge that he carries himself with, he's talked about this since game one. Klay Thompson has talked about this since game one. It's what makes him great. It's what makes him a future Hall of Famer. It's the reason he is who he is. It's just like saying, hey, John Morant, stop dancing when your teammate's making a three. The reason John Morant is great is because he plays with joy and fun and a carefree attitude and a fearlessness. You can't take away what makes a player great. So there's no shut up in Klay.
He is so polarizing. I think for all the fans that you think listen to the podcast or watch them, I can give you 50 million fans who would say the same thing, enough already. So he is a polarizing athlete. Sure, there are certain younger fans, especially, that like to hear him play. I'll give you a large segment of older fans who have followed the NBA for 60 years, who are, this is not a political scenario or a race situation, who have followed Wilt and grew up as a Knicks fan, who love Clyde and love Reed,
yeah,
and love the Pearl.
I disagree with you on that. I'm not saying it's a race situation. I'm saying that the fans you're talking about, they talk about athletes that way, like you just talked about an athlete.
I think there's a lot.
The people on Fox News talk about athletes that way.
Well, that's my issue.
I don't actually care about the fans that watch Bob Cousy play, right, or watch Wilt play. I don't care. Right. I appreciate that they've been NBA fans that long,
right,
but I don't appreciate the undertone.
All right, so obviously there is some earlier stuff that Mad Dog said that I couldn't include because I can't actually find the video. I'm in Australia, so they're not going to show us the entire segment, of course. I've just seen it float around on Twitter and stuff. But JJ's absolutely right. Draymond has a voice. Ja has a voice. LeBron has a voice. They all have voices. Every player has a voice. You can't try and bring up players from the 60s, 70s, and 80s and then say, oh, but me and my mates, I know heaps of people that were fans of these guys, but they always shut their mouth. Okay, but this is the age of social media. Everyone has the chance to write their own narrative. That's just how it goes. You can perceive Draymond Green any way you want, but don't try and say that people don't want to hear what he has to say. He's an NBA player. A lot of people want to hear what he has to say. Just like LeBron. It's not. And JJ was absolutely right. When you start bringing race and politics into it, it sounds like Fox News and it sounds like shut up and dribble. Which was a massive thing. Remember like a few years ago, shut up and dribble was huge, that debate. Like, yeah, there's like one half of us of everyone that's like, oh, who wants to listen to this guy? But at the end of the day, these guys have a platform. They're entitled to use it. That's the power of the internet. So Mad Dog coming on and complaining like it's the 60s, 70s, or 80s, or whatever time period he's talking about. Like, mate, what are you doing? No one get, like, who actually cares about Mad Dog's opinion compared to a player that's currently playing right now? Or Stephen A's opinion, for that matter. Or, yeah, maybe you could throw JJ in the same thing, but he's been podcasting through his playing career as well, so it's not like it's any different. Yeah, JJ absolutely just made him there. 100% right. Shut up and dribble thing. Kill it. If you want to delegitimize a player's opinion by just going, oh, they're a basketball player, who wants to hear what they say? I'd rather hear that from something from JJ and from Draymond and from Curry and for whoever. I want to hear them talk about their experiences rather than Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins, who's, you know, all these guys that are paid by ESPN. I'm not saying that obviously JJ is on ESPN, but he's bringing a mindset from the podcasting. But Kendrick Perkins, all he does is talk about ESPN stuff. His whole thing is ESPN. He doesn't bring a real argument to any discussion. None of these guys do. Okay, Stephen A, like, he'll just scream at everyone. Look, I find him entertaining, not gonna lie. I'm a bit of a sucker for some Stephen A. Smith. He's funny. But whose opinion really do I want? I want Draymond, and I want JJ. And, you know, yeah, it's corny, but I want Jar. Because his Twitter is corny as hell, but I want Jar. I want his opinion. Kyle Kuzma, a little bit corny on Twitter. Love it. Go ahead, be corny, bro. Do it. You have a voice? Use it. Project it. Kyrie. Go ahead, mate. Talk about whatever you want, even if it's wrong. Even if I don't agree with your view, I don't really care. But Draymond, yeah, he has a narrative to write. It's about himself, because what, he's going to rely on you to make the narrative about him? Perk? Mad Dog? He doesn't want to hear it. At least when Max Kellerman was on that show, there was some degree of control, you know. At least JJ brought that today, because Mad Dog comes on, complains like he's in another time era every single episode I watch. Like, what are you talking about, mate? We're not in the 60s. We are in the new age. We are talking about the internet. We are talking about players have different opinions on things and are allowed to express those in different ways. You can't just expect a player to express themselves the way they want to express themselves. Draymond goes out for a game, does what he does, annoys people. He hassles players. He's defensive. He's hard. He's a bit of a dog, you know. Then he comes on the podcast and he doesn't back away from that. It's not like he's a different person. He defends himself if he needs to, but he never backs away from what he does. So I'd rather that authentic, you know, display of self in those podcasts rather than have to hear just a guy just cock on about teams that no one cares about from the 60s. Like, mate, what are we doing? Like, no one cares about your opinion or what people miss. You talk about Draymond's antics are too much for Bob, but you want the game to be hard, like it was in the old days. You want it to be rough, like it was in the old days. Sorry, mate. Come on. You can't have it both ways. If you don't like Draymond, who's the current, like, he represents that hardness in play style and defensive pressure, you know, he plays like that, he acts like that, he talks like that, he talks about that in his podcast, doesn't back away from it. But you want that for that time period. But now, if you're backing it up with speech, it's too much. It's too much. You want the 60s again? No, can't have it both ways. If you want the rough and tumble, you'll get the rough and tumble, but you're going to get in the media now too. That's you need players to be authentic. It's so good having Draymond have a podcast and JJ have a podcast and Andre Iguodala having a podcast. Sorry, I don't actually listen to that many podcasts, but I like hearing the sound of my own voice. So you know, it is what it is. But it's just frustrating. It's like those ESPN talking points, they get so old. They're just rehashed all day. All day, all day. So I'm glad someone put Mad Dog in his place, because no one cares, mate. You should not be on that show. That just shows me how much Max Kellerman is actually missed on that show. I used to find him annoying. I can't believe that. I watch him now every time. If I see him and Jay Williams and what's his face? If I see their podcast, I'm 100% turning that on before I turn on ESPN, like a normal ESPN show, because they're actually talking about the game rather than just yelling at each other on the top of the throats. Yeah, we don't want to hear it. That's just the bottom line. Yeah. Well, and that's life. Everyone can have their opinion. JJ's was better, in my opinion. Next, okay, so now we're going to talk about the Dogs, because I've lacked talking about them. I talked about them my last one, I talked about them, but, you know, that was just a bit of a rant. I'm going to talk positively. Do we look better? Yes, 100% we do. I do not want Josh Jackson dropped from the side. Let's get that out of the way. People who are saying drop Josh Jackson as our captain, he can't be our captain. He's not fit to be a captain. I don't know what game you've been watching. He's been here for years. He's been like how many seasons now? It'd have to be, if it's not 10, it's close to 10. So big respect to Josh Jackson. No one is saying he should be dropped here, because that's ridiculous. I've seen that take. Worst take I've ever seen. He's our captain. Let's get that out of the way. All right? The other thing I want to address . It doesn't matter if Phil Gould has a voice on the playing field. Barrett is still coach. Barrett just needs to learn how to make... He needs help to make them a better team. That's fine. I have no issue with it. The fact that Fox News wants to run with this, Gould is the shadow, the puppet master and all this stuff. Sorry, Barrett standing on the sideline shows me that he's not actually the puppet master. He's just telling Barrett things, making him accountable, you know. Gould should be getting in there and helping out a bit. That's his job. Team's struggling. Help us out. I need your opinion. You've been in the game. You've won grand finals. Why is the coach not allowed to ask that question? Why does Barrett have to just sit on his ass and struggle when he could be legitimately... I do think he's legitimately trying. I'll give that to Barrett. I don't think he's just sitting back and relaxing. I didn't like his answers in the last presser against Brisbane. Thought he was making excuses. But you know what? He put his pride aside. He worked with Gus. Got a win against the Roosters, who I look, they're struggling right now. I don't think they're that great in attack. That's a discussion for another pod, which I'll never make because I'll forget. But honestly, give us some time. This team was never going to be great straight away. I think a lot of people expected that. We got a horrible run those first 8 games. I still think we should have gone 3-0 first 3 games, which would have set us up for much better things against better teams. But once you miss out on those second and third wins, and you don't beat Manly, you don't beat Brisbane, well, obviously Storm, Panthers, and who else did we get? Storm, Panthers. I can't even remember. But, you know, Storm and Panthers. Who expected us to beat them? No one. We're going to struggle there. But, you know, if we play, look, we got a very good opportunity coming up. We've got four games that could make or break our season. And make or break, I mean, how many games are we going to win this season? I don't think we'll make the finals. I'm not expecting that. I still think we have a major hooker problem. Not that we're hiring too many hookers. No, that JMK is not a hooker. He's not fast enough to be a hooker. If he is a hooker, then he's a bad one at that. I don't know what position. Maybe lock would be best for him if he stays out of the ruck. Four games coming up. We've got Raiders this week. We've got Tigers, Dragons, and who's the other one? Someone bad. So you have to win your games. We've got, I'm trying to remember. I suck. look, you have to win your games. That's the bottom line. So if we get two out of the next four, I'm very happy. That's because teams are desperate. I understand we're not going to win all those games, but two out of four for us is a very achievable outcome. Really, I want it to be four out of four. But Tigers, I think their attack can be a little bit more lethal. Dragons, I think we have the up over them, so I think we can win. Their attack is same as ours, just kind of stagnant. So I think we can easily score more points than them, but their defense looks pretty good. Our defense can be good. We just have to play it for 80 minutes. That's our issue. I don't have an issue with them struggling a bit. I get it. You know, we need those pieces. Right now, I thought once JJ was brought out of the ruck last week, it freed up Flano to play a lot more openly, a lot more freely. His running game's better. Also, big ups to his tackling. Flano's defense was really good. He made some great stops at the end. Shot locking up Joey Manu last week. That was great. Continue that because he's locked up Stags too this season. Bradman Best. The Knights. We have the Knights. If we don't beat the Knights, what are we doing? You know, we've got to win those games. We really do. So, let's see the fixture. Let's have a look. Why don't we take a dive into the Bulldog season? Next week, Raiders. Knights. Have to win that game. That to me is a must win. Because we can easily go 3. We can either go 2-2 or 3-3. Raiders this week, very good. It would be very good to get a two in a row. Two in a row would be like, we haven't had two in a row in years, man. That would, oh my God, I think I'd cry. Yeah, it's a crap team, but, whoa. Yeah, that'll feel good. That'll feel real good. Knights. Then we've got Tigers. I can see us losing that game. Not being a hater, I'm just, I think they've got some firepower that we kind of just don't have in the halves at the moment. Dragons. Have to win that game. That's at Belmore. I'll be there. Man, that's going to be a good game. 29th of May. It's May. This month moves fast, man. You've got this period is our most important period of the season. That's how I see it. Just in terms of Barrett. If Barrett can't pull off wins here, at least two, I think he's gone. I can't see him saying. Depending how the wins or losses go. If it's an 80-minute performance, maybe Gould will be kinder to him. But, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be... we got the Eels after that. I think we got a bye. Nope, we have the Panthers. See, that's why we have to win four in a row. Because right after we have the Panthers, and I think we have them during Origin, which could be good. So, well, I'm optimistic. I'm liking what I'm seeing from a lot of individuals. As a team, I think we still haven't really gelled yet, but we're doing things. We're getting Kikau next year. We're getting Reed next year. We got some play. I think Vaughn will move on, because we do have off contract players next year. Reed will obviously. Oh no, maybe not, because JMK is so good. No, he's terrible. I can't stand him. I can't stand JMK. He's just so slow. I think he's a nice guy, but mate, I can't watch it for a full season. That's how I feel. Yeah, I think there's some great things happening at the Dogs. And you know what? It's a 5-year plan. It's going to take a while. But same time, this year, if we can get 10 wins, I'll be a very happy man. That's always been the goal. If we get 10 wins this year, as opposed to the 3 we've gotten the last few years, 10 wins, then you get 15 next year with Reed. Have more direction up front. I think that's the biggest thing. Once we have more direction, it'll be easier to attack. It'll be easier on Birdo. It'll be easier on Flano. I can see him making him really work for it, you know what I mean? I think Josh Adakar's improved a lot. I had some complaints about him last week, but, you know, he's a hard worker when he wants to be. He cares about the club, I can already tell. So I want him to keep trying. I want him to get more ball. Jane's out of the lineup this week. Hallelujah. Naden's back. Excited to see him. I want Naden to really hit some form, because he was the player I was most excited for. I don't think he's hit form yet. Defensively, we're still working some stuff out, but I really think if you just keep implementing that sliding defense with... We already have decent defense, like, during periods, but you have to start implementing more sliding defense. Get them all going for 80 minutes, you know? Make sure they're working for each other, with each other, as opposed to letting... They can't let things through the middle. But teams that go through the middle, a lot of teams are going through the middle now. They've just come back to simplifying it since that rule change. Go back through the middle. It's like once you start punching those forwards, but you can't be letting tries in through there. That's the thing. That's like the cardinal rule of the game. Don't let tries through the middle. Let them work for the wings. Because it's easier to stop something on the wing. Help defense. Slide across. Bring your center, like, keep the winger on the outside so they don't have to come all the way in because they can't trust the center. Just stay outside there. Force them onto the wings. Don't let them come through the middle. Make sure your fullbacks... Dufty still has a way to go with his defense. When I was at that Panthers game, I was sitting behind the try line and his defensive positioning was pretty bad. He wasn't following the ball close to the line. He wasn't directing traffic. He wasn't... You see other good fullbacks, defensively, they'll direct traffic. They'll come from each side of the field. They'll watch the swing of play. If they see it coming through the middle, they'll bolster the pack in the middle. They'll help out there. They'll be there to make the last tackle in the middle. Haven't seen, like, that Panthers game. He was dreadful that game. That was his worst game. But I'm still liking him. So... I just want to see that defense, him coming, him directing traffic, him forcing them to slide us. You know, you want your fullback to have a voice. That's the thing. As much as your halfbacks have a voice, if the fullback is going to be watching the defense like that, you want him to have a voice in defense. And that's how Tedesco plays. That's how Latrell plays. Pappy. You see all these guys, they all have a voice in defense. That's really what Dufty needs to implement into his game. He'd be on another level. He's a really good attacking player, I think. But his defense is what drags him down so much. So, yeah, I think, look, a lot of positives. Big 4 games coming up. Let's get these W's. If we can get 3, I'll be very happy, boy. If we get 4, mate. No, we're not going to get 4. I don't think we'll get 4. Just being realistic. We need to win this. I feel like this Raiders game is pretty big. Raiders are very desperate, so I can see us losing this one. But hey, if we can win two in a row, then three in a row against the very bad Knights, we are better than the Knights, I'll tell you that. And I want Bradman Best to be put in his place by Aaron Schopp. Let's be real, Aaron Schopp is, hey, mate, something special. There's something special there, mate. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, so I'm going to wrap this up by saying, up the Warriors, up the Dogs. Long live Gary Payton II. Hope this doesn't affect his future, this injury. And Steve Kerr, stop being a terrorist and defend Jar properly. Because then maybe he won't go off 47 and kill you in the fourth. That's all I'm saying. And Clay, please take better shots. I can't keep defending him on the timeline. It's getting hard, mate. Thanks, dudes. Bye.